It's Saturday, August 18, 2018, from Mount Vernon, Virginia. This is Literally This Week. Hello, this is publisher Keith F. Shelvin of AS21 Media here to bring you the literary news for the second full week of August 2018.
Sunday.
Top story from The Guardian. V.S. Naipaul's legacy is complex, but his writing must be celebrated. The life of the greatest prose writer in the English language of the last 6 years has ended at the age of 85, though many of us were reluctant to celebrate V.S. Naipaul in such terms when he was alive, and we may stop short at acknowledging his full significance when we mourn him. Some of us may not mourn him at all, a fate generally reserved for dictators. The reasons from turning away from Naipaul, the writer, are related to how his writing expressed his humanity, or lack of it. Naipaul's discomforting assertions about Islam, about women, about countries less fortunate than the one he lived and died in, especially the Trinidad of his birth, Africa, and to some extent India, are often unjustified, unpleasant, and untrue, though he insisted that, despite their unpleasantness, they possessed the unflinching quality of truth. Also in the news on Sunday, from the bookseller, illustrations sold to help child refugees. Author Nicola Davies will this autumn sell off artwork donated by illustrators such as Steve Anthony and Sophie Henn to her hashtag 3,000 Chairs campaign, which raises money to help child refugees. From Canberra Times, National Library celebrates 50 years of documenting Australian history. In many ways, the National Library is the same as the day then Prime Minister John Gorton cut the ribbon on the Grand Marble Building 50 years ago, but now it has robots. And finally on Sunday from Bleeding Cool, Michael Sweater is tweeting at Bleeding Cool every 12 hours until we write about the Good Boy magazine Kickstarter. In a demonstration of avant-garde guerrilla publicity techniques, Michael Sweater has been tweeting at Bleeding Cool once every 12 hours until the website publishes an expose on Good Boy magazine, a new alternative comic Shonen Jump edited by Sweater and Benji Nate.
Monday.
Top story from the New York Post, disgraced library chief raking in hefty consulting fees along with pension. The disgraced former head of the Queen's Library, once accused of turning the nonprofit into his personal piggy bank, is not only collecting a six-figure state pension, he's cashing a fat paycheck from a Long Island school district. Thomas Galante's pension came to $248,102, putting him at the top 10 highest earners in the New York State and local retirement system last year, according to new figures released by the Empire Center. Galante, who was fired by the library in December 2014, is able to collect the taxpayer-funded pension because the Queen's Library is primarily funded with public money and employees are eligible to join the state pension system. And he's able to work for Elmont School District and skirt state rules that prohibit double-dipping by pension recipients because he's being paid as a consultant, not a district employee. Al Harper, the district superintendent, said Galante is paid about $200,000 a year as a business consultant. He said he had no qualms about his past. That was between him and his previous employer, Harper said. Also in the news on Monday from the bookseller, over 500 turned out in solidarity with Bookmarks after attack. Over 500 people turned out in support of Bookmarks solidarity event this weekend following the attack on the Socialist Bookshop by a far-right group a week earlier. From the New York Times, how a young war veteran became a serial bank robber, then a novelist. A few pages into Nico Walker's debut novel, Cherry, the narrator walks into a bank, pulls out a handgun, and casually demands money from the teller, reassuring her that it's nothing personal. Heading back to the car, he hears sirens approaching and feels oddly at peace with the inevitable outcome. Mr. Walker, 33, wrote the novel while serving an 11-year sentence in federal prison in Kentucky after pleading guilty in 2012 to robbing 11 banks around Cleveland during a four-month spree. From The Guardian, how free should novelists be to imagine radically different lives? Novelists must stretch their imaginations into the lives and minds of others. At the same time, this is an invasive process that does involve a degree of appropriation. The writer takes something for their use, and to any community that has suffered long misrepresentation, this will seem no different from the thousand thefts and degradations that have gone before. From LitHub, The Wind in the Willows isn't really a children's book, nor, mysteriously, does it contain any willows. And finally, on Monday, from the New York Times, as Google Maps renames neighborhoods, residents fume. With decisions made by a few Google cartographers, the identity of a city, town, or neighborhood can be reshaped, illustrating the outsized influence that Silicon Valley increasingly has in the real world. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor. Listeners to this and other podcasts of the AS21 Podcast Network are eligible to get a free month from Audible. Sign up today and get your first month for free, which means you get your first audiobook for free. Choose from 180,000 titles, and whatever book you choose, you get to keep forever, whether you stick with the service or not. Just to give you an idea how good you could do on audiobooks, I read 5 books this week by listening to them as audiobooks. I started with Blink by Malcolm Gladwell. Then I went to the second book of the Mary Poppins series by P.L. Travers. Then I followed that with Giving by former President Bill Clinton. Then the third book in the Mary Poppins series. And then just to top it all off, I decided to start adding some more poetry to my rotation. So I read the collected poems of John Milton yesterday afternoon, all listening to an audiobook. So in just 7 days, 5 books read, that really helps me with my Goodreads reading challenge. And it's all possible thanks to audiobooks from services like Audible. So sign up for Audible today at audibletrial.com/AS21. Get your first month for free. Get that first audiobook for free. And it's yours forever. Find some great stuff out there. Next up for me is One Shot at Forever by Chris Ballard. A small town, an unlikely coach, and a magical baseball season. Then after that, more poetry as I'm going to read through Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass. Who knows what you can find among those 180,000 titles, but I'm sure there's going to be something there that you will love. Check it out today, audibletrial.com/AS21.
Tuesday.
Top story from the Sun Sentinel. 3D printed guns leave Broward libraries to suspend printers' use. If you're looking to print out something in 3D, don't bother going to a Broward County library because theirs have been temporarily shelved over concerns they could be used to make a gun or other dangerous weapons. Broward libraries took their 3D printers out of circulation Monday to come up with policies about what the printers can be used for. Officials do not know how long the printers will be unavailable to the public. The suspension also follows recent attempts to make the 3D gun printing instructions available online. A federal judge in July issued a temporary restraining order to halt the release of downloadable blueprints for plastic guns. The 3D printers have been available at Broward libraries for about 4 years, Library Director Kelvin Watson said. Library visitors would submit their request to the library staff, who did the actual printing. Also in the news on Tuesday from DigiDay, Quartz forges ahead, but other news publishers shut down chatbots. The Washington Post, The Guardian, and Mike have discontinued their chatbots, according to their spokespeople. Others such as Business Insider and The HuffPost appear to have done the same, as evidenced by their messenger accounts not responding to messages or directing people to email them instead. From the bookseller, Townsend and Syed up for Sainsbury's Children's Book Awards. Authors including Jessica Townsend, Matthew Syed, and Ed Veer are in the running for this year's Sainsbury Children's Book Awards, held in partnership with Book Trust. From Tor, new deleted Wheel of Time novella to appear in Unfettered 3 in 2019. In the official announcement on Grim Oak Press website, Sean Speakman shared his delight at being able to publish the second seed from A Memory of Light. From the Huffington Post, why I use Harry Potter to teach a college course on child development. Georgine Trussell of Vanderbilt University writes, fiction has the power to foster empathy and change attitudes. And finally, from Publishing Perspectives, political publishing in the U.S., forthcoming titles, and an Authors Guild statement on First Amendment freedoms. An Authors Guild statement frames a week that includes both Simon & Schuster's release of a controversial Trump tell-all and a coordinated exercise of resistance in the news media to Donald Trump's attacks.
Wednesday.
Top story from Strategy Business, Gutenberg's Revenge. The media and entertainment industry has a long history of embracing disruptive innovations, from the printing press to the personal computer. But the rapid shift from physical to digital over the past decade or so has been truly revolutionary. In general, physical media has suffered a great deal. Printed newspapers and magazines have migrated to online versions, while DVDs and CDs have been supplanted by film and music streaming services. But the oldest form of physical media is actually holding up quite well. According to PwC's Global Entertainment and Media Outlook 2018 to 2022, the consumer market for physical printed books is holding its own in an increasingly digital world. Between 2018 and 2022, sales of physical video games, home video, and music are expected to decline each year, in some instances by double-digit percentages. By contrast, sales of physical books are expected to grow modestly by about 1% annually every year. By 2022, PwC expects consumers around the world will spend $50.3 billion on books in physical or audio, i.e. non-electronic form, compared with $47.8 billion in 2017. In May, the Association of American Publishers reported that in the U.S., print books, especially hardbacks, remain a source of growth for the association's nearly 1,200 publishers. AAP's monthly stat shot revealed that revenue for trade consumer books increased by $96 million, or 1.3%, to $7.6 billion from 2016 to 2017. The growth was attributed to a 3% revenue increase in the adult books category, which accounts for more than 65% of all revenue from trade books. Also in the news on Wednesday from the bookseller, judge rules against Northamptonshire library closures. The High Court has ruled that Northamptonshire County Council's bid to close 21 libraries was unlawful. From DARPA, restoring trust in electronic documents. DARPA program aims to radically improve software's ability to recognize and reject invalid and malicious electronic data. From LitHub, what if you win a comedy award but don't think you're funny? Julie Schumacher, funniest woman in America, on what people expect of humor. From The New Republic, Why Little Women Endures. A new book reveals the powerful frustrations and sharp wit that shaped Louisa May Alcott's classic novel. And finally, on Wednesday, from Goodreads, 12 Things Readers Really Want Non-Readers to Know.
Thursday.
Top story from The Hill, FCC targets pirate radio station that broadcasts Alex Jones. The Federal Communications Commission has shut down a pirate radio station known for its broadcasts of conspiracy theorist Alex Jones. The Austin American-Statesman reported Wednesday that the station, Liberty Radio, was hit with a $15,000 fine and at least temporarily pulled from the airwaves. The newspaper reported that a lawsuit filed in federal court in Austin alleged that Liberty Radio had functioned without a license since at least 2013 and had been transmitting from a tower at an Austin apartment complex. Liberty Radio, or LRN.FM, stopped airing on the radio in December, but still streams online. The FCC is charging that the station was also illegally broadcasting on an FM wavelength. The Associated Press reported that Walter Alenik and M. Ray Nadler Alenik were named as the defendants in the lawsuit, and the apartment complex from which the station was transmitting is linked to them. The Alenics reportedly told the FCC that they would not pay the fine and would treat any agency representatives as trespassers. Media reports, including the Local Statesman, described the station as Jones' flagship outlet. NPR reported Thursday that it had picked up the nickname Alex Jones Radio over the years. The station does air rebroadcasts of the Alex Jones Show. Also in the news on Thursday from the bookseller, Sage buys technology company Talus. Sage, the multinational English software company, has bought technology company Talus and Talus Aspire, its course resource list management system, for an undisclosed sum. From VentureBeat, Google publishes its political ad database detailing spending in U.S. federal elections. The library only contains ads dealing with federal elections, so you won't find any ads purchased by your local mayor. The database contains any political ads purchased to run on Google Search or YouTube starting on or after May 31st. The database will be updated weekly, not in real time. From Publishers Weekly, sensitivity readers, what are they good for? A lot. An author argues for the importance of people from marginalized backgrounds who vet manuscripts to ensure that the representation of underrepresented groups is both accurate and respectful. And finally, on Thursday from LitHub, Buddy, the library isn't a 7-Eleven. A running tally of items people have asked for at the circulation desk. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor. This podcast is brought to you by BookBite. Sell used textbooks online, get paid cash. BookBite has helped students rent and buy textbooks affordably since 1999. Based out of Salem, Oregon, they are passionate about helping students and members of a community reach their full potential through education. That's why they went into the used textbook business way back in the 20th century, because they believe everyone should have affordable access to the tools they need to learn. Click on the link in the show notes or visit audio.as21.com and click on the banner link to BookBite today.
Friday.
Top story from The Bookseller. SNS hits back at Trump lawyers, hollow threats to sue. Simon & Schuster has hit back at legal threats from Donald Trump over his former aide Omarosa Manigault Newman's book, telling the American president's lawyers, "At base, your letter is nothing more than an obvious attempt to silence the legitimate criticism of the president." Unhinged is an insider account from Trump's former assistant and director of communications for the Office of Public Liaison, which provides a jaw-dropping look into the corruption and controversy of the current administration. Following the book's publication in both the U.S. and U.K. 3 days ago, Trump's lawyers claimed that Manigault Newman was breaking a non-disclosure agreement, including a non-disparagement clause and confidentiality clause, and threatened her publisher with substantial monetary damages and punitive damages. The day after the book's release in the UK and US on Tuesday, August 14th, Elizabeth McNamara of Davis Wright Tremaine, outside counsel for Simon & Schuster and its imprint Gallery Books, responded that the publishers will not be intimidated by hollow legal threats, adding it had gone ahead with publication of the book as scheduled. Responding to a letter from Trump's litigation counsel, Charles Harder, McNamara made a point of saying Trump, as the president of the U.S., had a bully pulpit at his disposal and the largest platform in the world to challenge statements in the book. Also in the news on Friday from the Washington Post, Abe Lincoln's library faces so much debt that it's considering selling his stuff, including his hat and gloves. The Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library Foundation, which supports Lincoln's Museum in Springfield, Illinois, has found itself $9.7 billion in debt on a loan it took out 11 years ago to purchase a collection of rare artifacts from a private collector. The GoFundMe page is currently at just under $25,000. From the New York Times, Keanu Reeves is doing a new thing, publishing books. The actor and his business partner, the visual artist Alexander Grant, has created X-Artist Books, an imprint full of esoteric titles. Keanu, come on, do we really need the competition? From Entertainment Weekly, Hollywood is finally catching up to Karen Slaughter. Author Karen Slaughter may have seemed an ideal fit for adaptations, given that addictive nature and sheer popularity of her work, which has sold more than 35 million copies worldwide. But for 17 years, she was told her novels were too female-centric for producers and execs, and eventually she stopped trying to get them on screen. I was just so disillusioned, she says. Then, as with a snap of the fingers, everything changed. Did Thanos have something to do with this? From Chorus Access, USAID signs participation agreement with Chorus. Chorus has announced an agreement with the U.S. Agency for International Development to expand public access through results of its funded research. From LitHub, the Encyclopedia of Science Fiction is the best place on the internet. Self-referential, argumentative, and never dispassionate. And finally, on Friday, from the Boston Globe, journalists are not the enemy. More than 400 news outlets from around the country have joined the Boston Globe's effort to support a free press. Scroll through to read them. They will be updating the list as more editorials are published.
Saturday.
Top story from Global Voices: elections in Mali marred by militant violence and internet shutdowns. The night before Mali's sitting president, Ibrahim Boubacar Keita, was re-elected in a runoff vote, internet access was hard to come by. Some internet users in the major cities of Bamako and Gao reported that they could not access the internet at all, while technical testing indicated that major social networks were blocked. Later in the week, journalists for Agence France-Presse reported that mobile internet networks became inaccessible just prior to the official announcement of Keita's victory. Internet outages like these put a strain on citizens' ability to communicate and access public information, activities that are especially important during an election. On top of this, an estimated 500 polling stations were closed for the August 12th runoff vote due to militant violence and threats against voters and poll workers in the northern region of the West African country. In turn, only 34% of Mali's eligible voters cast ballots. While international election observers reported no evidence of election fraud, the effects of violence in the north undoubtedly contributed to the low turnout. It is also worth noting that internet access, especially via mobile networks, is not only important during elections, but also in conflict situations where safety is of the utmost concern. Network shutdowns can hinder users' access to communication services at a time when they are most in need of information that can help ensure their safety. Also in the news on Saturday, from the Bookseller Publishers Association corrects key figure on author pay. The Publishers Association has admitted a key figure it released on author pay was wrong. In fact, authors received more money from publishers in 2016 than previously thought, with the figure first cited close to £190 million. From ANCOM, independent publishers resist and expose their present. In the middle of the fall of the publishing power of the population of the increase of costs, the alternative stamps show their wealth in the fare of independent publishers. From The Guardian, Dear Mr. President, during his presidency, Barack Obama read 10 letters from members of the public every day. He reveals what they meant to him. From Shine, new book on 40 years of opening up. Shanghai Archives releases a new book yesterday on local events and key figures during the 40 years of China's return and opening up. From the Moscow Times, Tolstoy's great-granddaughter discovers her family history. The annual meeting of descendants of Lev Tolstoy recently took place at the writer's familiar estate, Yasnaya Polyana. More than 100 people came from all over the world to participate in the traditional gathering of one of the world's most illustrious literary families. The descendants may eat every summer to ride horses, drink tea, and talk about their great ancestor. And finally, on Saturday from Quartz, a hilarious new memoir reveals the absurd business of selling books. Sean Beithel's laugh-out-loud account of life as a used bookseller in Scotland. Now we have a few listener submissions this week, actually several, so bear with us. From The Atlantic, how poetry came to matter again. From The Sydney Morning Herald, Doesn't believe in contracts, literary agent sues best-selling author. From Electric Literature, reading a book takes time, deal with it. From Politico, Trump tried to ban top aides from penning tell-all books. And from Forbes, why authors are earning less even as book sales rise. Looks like there was a lot of stuff coming out this past week. We'll be right back after this message from our sponsor. Get your tickets now for Interlude to Sentimental Me, the stage play adapted from the poetry of A.S. Tournament creative Michael B. Judkins. There will be two performances, September 15th and 22nd at Rosemont Lutheran Church in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania at 3 p.m. Get your tickets today through Eventbrite. Tickets start at $15 with discounts for seniors and children. Or get the special VIP offer for just $75. You get two tickets to either performance, plus dinner after the show. Find out today. Go to as21.com/creative/Judkins for the link, or look it up on Eventbrite, or join us on the 15th or 22nd to see this new production of a stage play based on AS21 creative Michael B. Judkins' poetry, Interlude to Sentimental Me, at the Rosemont Lutheran Church in Bethlehem. Get your tickets today.
Hello, this is Fiona the AOS21 computer. Here's the New York Times bestseller list. Sales for the week ending the 11th of August. Combined print and ebook fiction number 1, Tailspin by Sandra Brown. Number 2, Crazy Rich Asians by Kevin Kwan. Hardcover fiction number 1, Tailspin by Sandra Brown. Number 2, The President is Missing by Bill Clinton and James Patterson. Paperback trade fiction number 1, Crazy Rich Asians by Kevin Kwan. Number 2, Elena Elephant is Completely Fine by Gail Horniman. Combined print and ebook nonfiction number 1, Everything Trump Touches Dies by Rick Wilson. Number 2, The Russia Hoax by Greg Jarrett. Hardcover nonfiction number 1, The Russia Hoax by Greg Jarrett. Number 2, Liars, Leakers, and Liberals by Janine Pirro. Paperback nonfiction number 1, Kitchen Confidential by Anthony Bourdain. Number 2, Sapiens by Yuval Noah Harari. Young Adult Hardcover number 1, The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas. Number 2, Children of Blood and Bone by Tommy Adeyemi. And to the Amazon charts for the week starting the 12th of August. The most sold books on Amazon are fiction number 1, Crazy Rich Asians by Kevin Kwan. Number 2, 2 Weeks Notice by Whitney Jean. Nonfiction number 1, Girl, Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis. Number 2, 12 Rules for Life by Jordan B. Peterson. Really? That's the title Kevin Kwan went with? Not judging, I hear it's an excellent book and movie, but really? Now back to Keith for the Home Report.
Thank you, Fiona, and now for the Home Report. This past week, we announced the details of the re-release of American Presidents of War by Thomas P. Etheridge, now available in paperback and digital formats. Pick up your copy today, visit market.as21.com. Additionally, AS21 Audio renewed its call for listener feedback. You can still fill out surveys for the AS21 podcast, such as the one you're listening to right now. Just visit surveys.as21.com, and you'll be awarded with 21% off at the AS21 Market and entered for a chance to win a $25 Visa gift card. But also, take a moment to click over to iTunes, Podomatic, Google Play, or whatever podcast service you're listening to, and leave us a review. Good or bad, these reviews help us reach a wider audience, and can also help us as we develop new programming and sponsorship opportunities. Like what we're doing? Leave 5 stars and a short review. Not so much? Leave however many stars you feel are appropriate, but then tell us why in the review. We appreciate any and all feedback on our podcast series. Submissions are now open for the 2018 AS21 Annual. We'll be taking submissions of short stories, essays, photography, art, poetry, and more throughout the month of August. Visit as21.com/annual for more information. Tuesday morning, AS21 creative Thomas P. Etheridge was at Little Falls Library in Bethesda, Maryland for the release of the revised edition of his book, American Presidents of War. Thank you to all those who turned out, including fellow AS21 creative Philip J. Sipkov. Later in the week, the next episode of the Passion of the Page poetry podcast was released, featuring another live performance from the poetry open mic in December at Walls of Books in Washington, D.C. Find Passion on the Page on SoundCloud, everywhere else you get your podcasts, and audio.as21.com. Friday night, AS21 was back at Walls of Books in Washington, D.C. for poetry open mic. Although we had a lot of RSVPs online and interest at the store, the crowd was light. We'll be taking a break in September, but be on the lookout for future events in the Parkview neighborhood of D.C. In the week ahead, we'll announce a new initiative that AS21 will be taking part of over the next few months. To find out early, sign up for the weekly email at as21.com or facebook.com/as21. Tuesday is the 21st at our ePress 21 webinar, Are You Ready to Self-Publish? Sign up at as21.com or ePress21.com for just $6. After the webinar, it's our live Q&A webcast, Ask AS21 on the 21st. Join me as I answer questions on the creative process, writing, podcasting, and video work. Find the webcast on YouTube and Periscope. full video will be posted to the AS20 YouTube page afterward at video.as21.com. As always, be on the lookout for other AS21 podcasts and video series throughout the week by following us on Twitter at AS21 or on Facebook, facebook.com/AS21. Remember, you can support this and the other podcasts of the AS21 podcast series on Patreon. Support today starting at just $1 a month, and you'll get access to a creative-only blog with news directly from our creators, special episodes of some of the podcasts you love, and other wonderful special gifts. Go to patreon.com/AS21 and become a patron of the arts today. Also, remember, you can sponsor this and the other AS21 podcasts through AdvertiseCast. We have various rates available, ranging from 15 seconds up to a minute, as well as special bonuses such as postings on AS21 Twitter account and our Facebook pages. Thank you for listening to the Literary This Week podcast. We are now available on Spotify, so welcome to all Spotify subscribers as they listen today. Otherwise, you can find our podcast on Podomatic, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, TuneIn, and our home on the web, audio.as21.com. Copyright 2018, AS21 Media, LLC. All rights reserved. AS21 Media. What do you want your story to be?